Well, this morning I'm preaching from Colossians 3:20 and Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians is the parallel epistle. I'm in Colossians 3:20 and Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. And I'm preaching on God's calling for sons and daughters to obey and honor their parents. Now, in the context, Paul told wives to submit to their husbands. And then Paul told husbands to love their wives. Now, Paul's not just saying this on his own. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. He has apostolic revelation. And now the teaching that he gets to is directly to sons and daughters. Colossians 3:20 says this, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, because this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother." That's big right there. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Prepare your heart for this sermon. God calls sons and daughters to obey and honor their parents." Let's pray. Father, I'm very grateful for the privilege and the calling to preach. I'm asking that you would guide me this morning to preach accurately. And I'm asking that you would help us to learn and understand these principles for ourselves and also even to be able to share them, because it's from your word and it's from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, getting into this, I think it's very necessary to recognize the Greek word that Paul used for children. I think it's important to understand this for this right here. It applies to all offspring. And so it's not a word about age. Don't think about age, like referring to only younger people. And this is very important because you might want to do that. Now, something else that's important is to understand that God's will for obeying and honoring parents is not based on false kinds of origins, like, you know, from people who just want it. You know, or as something according to naturalism that supposedly evolved into existence. No. God's will in this can seem very similar to ones existing in the world, but those are all very, very different. Our operation, and it's always this way, is according to God's design, function, and purpose, and his mandate, and he's revealed it. But you get more than a command from God here, and this is very important. It is a spiritual calling, talking about Christian children. It is your responsibility. But it's more than your responsibility. The calling is your privilege in Christ Jesus. And so when you, as a Christian son or daughter, are obedient to your parents, honoring your parents, you are manifesting the work of the indwelling Spirit in serving God. You're living out fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so God wants you to understand this. And it's also key to understand that when Paul taught these things, he directly addressed the children. Notice that. In both passages, Colossians 3:20, Ephesians 6:1, Paul talks straight to sons and daughters as if he's talking to them. He didn't say to parents, you know, "I want your children to do the things that I'm telling you about," as if the parents are the ones that are going to be the passers on of this teaching. He didn't say, "Make sure you let the children know they're supposed to do what I'm saying." Paul talked to the children because his teachings were read, studied, and preached among everyone. Everyone listened to what was being taught from God's word. And that's the way it's supposed to be today. And this is important since it pointed out publicly in front of everybody that God says it's his will for parents to be known as the authority leaders of the household. They are the authority leaders, straight from God, talking straight to the sons and daughters. Paul, he's not bypassing authority. He's not bypassing the parents. Paul wanted it understood that God's word is the authority which gives parents their authority. Now, in the world, everywhere you look, authority just asserts itself. It asserts itself to be the authority. Even when it takes the authority illegally, it'll assert to you that it's the authority. But here, it's not parents saying, "Obey me because, you know, I'm your parent." God's word speaks directly to sons and daughters so that parents don't need to be the ones to assert what God's will is on this matter. And so with the foundation laid in God's word, parents can stand on it while children build on it with their lives in obedience to it. This is what's expected. And as God's word, it's pure revelation from the creator of the universe directly to you to take notice and respect what God's telling you to do. doesn't allow a son or a daughter in the family to be able to skirt the issue in such ways that people try to do such things, like assuming that the younger you are, the more this command must apply to you. Or the more you think that you contribute to the family, the less this command applies. And the calling has direct references back to the beginning of God's creation. Genesis says, God established that a man leaves his father and mother, and in the process of being joined to his wife, the two become one. Paul repeated in Ephesians 5:31, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. And it says that the son who leaves is a man, an adult. And also, until leaving, the man is still the son of his parents under and in their household. Women are the same way. While in their parents' households, adult sons and adult daughters have not left the parents' authority. They're still under it. And when you get married, if you do, well, the man becomes the head, with both the husband and wife becoming authorities over their own sons and daughters if they're going to have any. But what about being a man? You know, does it change things in the household? Well, like I said, the term used does not indicate that it does. And God's word speaks in 2 Timothy 3:2 about something which helps us on this. Speaking of sinfulness, sinfulness increasing in end times, Paul said this, men, adult males, will be disobedient to parents. Now think about that. So referring to adult men, the Spirit is indicating that all levels of maturity should honor and obey parents. There's no room to say, well, I'm not a little kid anymore, or I disagree with what my parents say. There's only room to say, God tells me to obey my parents, to love and honor them while under their household before leaving them. Also tells me to love and honor them in decent, godly ways for the rest of my life. So no matter what maturity level you are, the spiritual maturity level that you're supposed to be in this is a willing conduit of the love of Christ. This is what we're getting down to when we say this is what God wants and it's about Him. You see, the heart of this calling for sons and daughters is to love your parents with the Christian love. That's what we have as Christians. It's unique as a manifestation of Christian love. And the key ways to do this are right there, by obeying them and also honoring them with a respectful attitude. So as you listen to the Lord to obey your parents, recognize that in the flow of what Paul is saying to you, that he just finished telling wives to be subject to their husbands. Now, the word there for wives subjecting to husbands, it's different than this one that's used for sons and daughters being obedient to parents. The Greek verb there indicates that wives need to have voluntary submission. When Paul addresses sons and daughters, he's using an actually a stronger word. It's a military word. It's a military term with a sense of obeying your orders. Children are required to obey as a matter of expected duty from God. And what about the biblical extent of the obedience? You're going to wonder about that. Well, it says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, which really does cover the things that you don't want to be obedient in. But the things are governed. Ephesians 6:1 tells you how. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord means do what God wants. You're a Christian, by obeying everything your parents direct you to do, that is not sin. All right? That's not sin. If a mother or father tells you to sin, then the higher authority principle overrides obedience concerning that sin area. And this is because, as we read in Romans 13, God, as the ordainer of all authorities, is the authority over all authority. So think of it this way. Obey in the Lord literally means to obey in the Master God. Lord means Master. It's obedience which glorifies God with your life. And that's what God wants you to do in everything, by the way. All of us, everything. And think about this obedience being done because it says it's well-pleasing to the Lord. In Ephesians, it says because it's right. And so you see more and more and more why God's not saying, children, be obedient to your parents in all things because this is well-pleasing to your parents. It's very tempting to make that a foundation of where you stand on in this. It's a consideration. It's not the foundation. He's not saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right to your parents. Honor your father and mother because it's their commandment. No. You see, it's because you're being well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is who you answer to ultimately. You're doing what is right to Him. And God knows you need to hold to this because He knows that you don't always feel like being obedient, especially because of something that has to do with the person you should obey. He wants you to look beyond whatever you don't like about your parents. You look beyond that. What you do is you seek what is pleasing to Him. And as I go through life, I don't always feel like being obedient to authorities, the ones I find fault with. And I'm an adult. And so there are many reasons that I can try to use to attempt to justify disobedience to God-ordained authorities. My emotions can get me thinking that way. You know, and this happens with sons and daughters everywhere. Feelings get hurt. Anger raises up. Brooding happens. Pride, that's a big one. It can well up inside of you, pride. Being rebellious can be stoked by all those things. And then disobedience, that's a way of getting back at parents as a form of hostility. It's a bad attitude, and it's armed with bad actions that's meant to spite the parents, especially in judging them and finding faults in them, which can be used by the bad attitude to try to rationalize what you're doing. So again and again, the Lord wants you to understand, your parents are secondary. It's all about being well-pleasing to, it says, to your Lord. And if you say that you haven't left your parents' household, but you're smart and you're capable and you can see things with discernment, you need to understand that self-assigned standards of how you feel or what you think about yourself, where you are not as important as you may want them to be the way God sees where you are. And your self-assessment of your own wisdom in a situation where you think that it's greater than your parents, it's not as important as you want it to be when it comes to all of this. Again, if a parent wants you to sin, that's a different issue. You can go to your parents, you can talk to them, you can try to reason through things, but they still need to be obeyed and honored. This is how it works. And since Paul is talking about obedience and all other issues, your self-oriented evaluation of being misunderstood, it's not as important as you want it to be. Well, so you might say, well, nobody understands me, especially my parents. You might say, nobody knows what it's like. Nobody knows what I go through. Well, what you need to know is that most children think that way. It's human nature. Sons and daughters have said for thousands of years all over the world these kinds of things. You might say, well, it's not fair. You might say, my parents are mean. And there's a thing about that. You might be right. See, we can all make complaints about the world we exist in which we're supposed to obey God by obeying His word, by obeying authorities. We can always find something to complain about because we live in imperfection, with imperfection. We submit to imperfection when it comes to humans, but not with God. He's perfect. And every Christian faces all these things in respect to all of God's ordained authorities. The decision issue is a crossroad. You need to take the right road. But please understand, you are very important to God, important enough for Jesus to die for on a cross. But just like focusing upon your parents who are secondary in respect to obedience, when you focus upon yourself, you're also focusing on who is secondary when it comes to obedience, yourself. Focus on God, and you're on the right path to what is well-pleasing to Him, and it is right. And yet, though parents are also secondary under God, you need to know how much He thinks they are important. Despite all their faults, you derive benefit from them. And you may be in a broken home where you don't see much benefit, but in your calling, you do as well. Ephesians 6, 2-3 says concerning all this, honor your mother and father, your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It says, so that, first of all, it may be well with you. You listen to what it's saying? And secondly, that you may live long on earth. So Paul pointed out a blessing principle in the Ten Commandments to make an illustrative point. This is apostolic revelation. And what it has is what to do. And it also has the blessing. And it's an enduring principle. But here's the thing. It's far more than adolescent children or for adults while only under the household. Know this. The command to honor your father and mother is for everyone at any time in all walks of life. In the new covenant, the principle operates in your life in Christ. So by using all these references, Paul showed that God has always ordained, even since the beginning, all of this biblical referencing that he's been doing, even with Adam and Eve, for our parents to be valued and honored as an everlasting God principle. God says goodness results. Adam and Eve's children needed to abide by the principle. God always wants parents honored in his creation. And the point that must not be missed is that this benefits your parents, but it also benefits you. It benefits all sons and daughters, Christian sons and daughters, because these are teachings to the body of Christ. But the sure promise is this, that first, it may be well with you, and also that you may live long on earth. I really want you to think about that. The principle is so important that Jesus brought it out when confronting people who dishonored their parents. And these particular people that he did this with, they were corrupt religious leaders in his day. They were called the Pharisees. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 15, 3 through 9, he said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother." And then Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, which laid out a very serious consequence for doing this. And Jesus said this, "And he who speaks bad against his father or mother is to be put to death." And Jesus told them, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God." It was the tradition called Corban that they were using as an excuse here. So they said, "Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, that he is not to honor his father or his mother. But by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition." He says, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." You know, those guys have become so sinful, they're trying to come up with ways to justify getting out of helping their moms and dads when their parents needed help. You know, if parents would come to the adult Pharisee, because they are adults, the son, they come to him for help, the sinful, unloving Pharisee thought he'd be justified to get out of honoring his parents by giving this excuse. He didn't have to do it with his parents because, you know, the money is going to be given to God in this traditional practice called Corban. And so making Corban an excuse to hold back help was really an attempt to try to excuse personal greed and lack of love. Personal greed and lack of love. And since it dishonored parents, Jesus was saying, and make no mistake about it, acting that way is truly an attempted excuse to dishonor your parents. And there's many ways that we can do this outside of this particular thing that they did in our own lives with our own parents. But as an excuse, think about this. It looked like it was supposed to be holy, you know, somehow commendable to God. That's just selfish rationalization. It's a lie. It's far, far from holy. It's evil. And what it does is it shows how human nature seeks to come up with excuses to justify a heart that is in rebellion against God and parents. Now, you can try to paint your wrong actions with the picture of holy-looking intentions. God's not impressed. He always sees your heart for what it is. And from the Pharisees to us, to try to get out of honoring our parents, no matter what age you are, is a direct transgression against the law of Christ, of loving others, our parents, and loving God. And you're really seeking to invalidate the word of God. And Jesus gives us more on this. In respect to his earthly father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, Jesus showed the proper honor for parents that we should all have. Luke 2, 41 through 52 shows Jesus in his earthly ministry. He's a little boy, 12 years old. Jesus went with his parents to the city of Jerusalem for the annual festival. Crowds of people were bustling everywhere. Streets were lined with outdoor markets. You have all this going on. This is the yearly festival. Atmosphere was lively, energetic, colorful. You think about this, packed with people. And as the group, they were there, they went through everything. And as the group had finished the visit, was on its way out to leave the bustle of Jerusalem, Jesus walked over into the temple, which he called his Father God's house. And he started engaging the theologians and talks about theology and doctrine and stuff like that. He was doing what was well-pleasing to himself, to his Father in heaven, and to the Holy Spirit. And it seems Jesus' earthly parents had traveled up to the festival with a number of friends and relatives, probably the same group that they left the festival with later in, we see in Luke 2:44. And now, this little caravan, done with the festivities, they just head back home, assuming Jesus is still somewhere among them. And then after traveling out of Jerusalem, they finally notice that Jesus isn't with them. So what they do is they head back to Jerusalem, and they look all over for Jesus, and they finally find him, and he's in the temple. He was listening, he's questioning, and he's amazing everyone there with his wisdom. And what happened next is very, very enlightening. His earthly parents, they're scolding Jesus. So think about this. You have the earthly parents of Jesus, they're scolding him. And how would you like to be known in history as somebody who scolded God manifested in the flesh? Well, Luke 2:48 says, "When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Look, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.'" Notice that the parents are the ones focused on and being treated a certain way. Now, why is that? It's not a trick question. It's because the earthly parents of Jesus are the God-ordained parental authorities of Jesus the child. This has to do with the stewardship of an ordained family, which is also having to do with honoring the mother and father. But Jesus had never intended to treat Mary and Joseph in a dishonorable manner. And we also recognize that this is Jesus. So we know that he's not sinning against his mother and father. Jesus is without sin. Jesus was honoring his Father in heaven at this time as God manifested in the flesh, and it was difficult for people to understand the fullness of who Jesus was while Jesus was this 12-year-old boy. The same difficulty was there with Mary and Joseph. Jesus had to explain things to them just like he had to explain to everyone everywhere he went. And so there, answering his earthly mother Mary, Jesus used the typical questioning technique that marked his whole ministry, and we're told that he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" So he's pointing Mary and Joseph back to what an angel had told them about Jesus, and also about Mary and her cousin Elizabeth's prophecies, as well as all the prophecies in the Old Testament about himself. And more than likely, Jesus had also taught Joseph and Mary about himself as he had been growing up, things that they needed to know, as he says, about him. Their Messiah was referring to honoring his heavenly Father. He's referring to where he must be to do it, his heavenly Father's house. He's obeying his heavenly Father. He was the embodiment of two things while there: ultimate authority over Joseph and Mary, and ultimate submission to the Father. Joseph and Mary were expected to obey and honor Jesus, as we all are. And yet, and listen to me very carefully, particularly sons and daughters, Jesus was also under the God-given authority of his earthly parents. Remember, it's a calling, and it's him. He's the one that ordains it. Those parents were ordained to truly be the stewards and the authorities of the family God placed Jesus in to be raised as their son. Mary was chosen to be the woman the Holy Spirit impregnated. She was ordained to give birth to Jesus and raise him up to be a man. Joseph was chosen and told by an angel to marry her, thus becoming the earthly father and the earthly authority over the household. Keep this in mind, very important, as I read the amazingly important fact in all of this that has the principle we need to apply to our own lives. It's the reason that I've been sharing this whole story, by the way. It says next at Luke 2:51, listen to this, that Jesus went with them to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to them. Now that right there is your lesson. It says Jesus continued in subjection, meaning he had never discontinued to be in submission to them in any time beforehand. And in the continuation from then on, it was the same way. This is a huge lesson because Jesus is the magnificent King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the God-man, the Savior, who intentionally made himself continue in submission to Joseph and Mary in the proper honor due to them. Honor your father and mother. Sons, daughters, the principle is so important with God that Jesus knew he must operate according to it. Remember, he said he fulfilled all righteousness. He's the one who decreed that such obedience and honor is the right thing to do, that it's pleasing the Lord. Of course, he is the Lord. And so, knowing his true identity and knowing Joseph and Mary were not perfect, that they were full of sin like the rest of humanity, like all of us parents are, full of mistakes like all of us parents are, They were imperfect in their decisions, like all of us parents, and they were imperfect in their actions, like all of us parents. Being perfect, though, himself, Jesus demonstrated the perfect example for all of us. And so my urging to all of us, to you, me, including me, concerning my remaining parent, we need to embrace our call to obey and honor our parents because doing so really is well-pleasing to our Lord. Amen.